Hello and welcome to another episode of the American Soccer Analysis Show. I am your host, Kieran. We're here. The end of the previews are in sight. The last 10, the best 10. And I'm joined by the best two, Benjamin Bellman and Harrison Crow. Ben, you were at CCL last night.
Yeah.
Are you still cold?
Yes. I've been cold since before that, but now I've been complaining at work like I'm so tired of it being cold. I'm so tired of it being cold. I'm not gonna complain about it
What
anymore.
was your soul warmed by the glory and grace of Georgi Mihailovic banging a free kick into the top corner?
Oh my God, that was insane. I just had
You
this
know,
like maybe I should record this one, and it's on Blue Sky now if y'all want to check that out.
nice. It was so funny. We had it's like it was like the first game of the year that we were like into in the Discord,
Yeah.
and somebody came in and was like, "It's an empty stadium, CCL, basically a preseason friendly, and this chat is going insane, and it's going to be like Galaxy NYCFC primetime kickoff, and there will be not one message sometime in the next few weeks," which I thought was very, very fun. Harrison, your beloved Seattle Sounders are playing right this instant. Give us the like first 20-minute review of the Sounders.
They're a little bit more countery than what I anticipated. There's probably been about three or four good through balls that I didn't expect them to play. Like, I knew that adding Areola, adding Jesus Ferreira was going to do that. They were going to be a little bit more, again, on the counter a little bit. But it surprised me how much they are just jumping forward. So it's cool to see. I love this. I almost wrote in my preview that I felt like this could be another Oba slash Dempsey type moment.
Ooh. Well, let's
we'll
save
get there.
that.
We'll get
Let's
there.
save
Yeah, we'll
that
get
because
there, but.
we're gonna do the same thing we did last week. We're gonna go through the best 10 teams in the league. We're gonna give each team about 5 minutes, but these teams are good teams, man. And we have things to say about these good teams. I was saying before we recorded that the previews for the good teams are so much more fun to edit because there's so much more to talk about. So I'm going to be real liberal with the clock. I'm going to be real, real, real. Let's see if the conversation's flowing. The timer hasn't stopped yet, if you know what I mean. So, Ben, we're going to start with you. We're going to start with Minnesota United. Minnesota United, keep an eye out on some things coming out on their social at some point, eventually in the future. But Minnesota United, Ben, tell us about the Loons.
So the Loons are fun, and the Loons, I think, were like, I remember this time last year, everyone was like, what is Minnesota doing? Like, they don't have a coach. They don't have a roster. Like, what's happening? Like, this team doesn't seem like they're trying. And now it's a year later, and we're like, they're a dark horse. Like, they could make a real push for it. Like, this is a really interesting team. So what I think is the funnest thing about this team is their forward line is just freaking insane. I think you won't have like the top end ten. Like, you don't have a Suarez, you don't have a Messi, you don't have a Bowanga per se, but with, oh God, we've got Yeboah, you've got Bongi. I can't pronounce his name, so we're gonna go with Bongi. Is it Huang Bane? I forget.
Yeah, Bonga Kule Huang Wane.
Humwane, there we go. You've got, and on the as a backup, you've got Songbin, you've got Tani Oluwaseyi. These are all extremely talented players. Like, this team is not going to be switching off. Even if they are up 2-0, maybe they do a defensive substitution and then they, you know, take one of their attackers off to give them some rest to mix it up. They will still be dangerous. Like, this is not a team that, you know, you can trust to just sort of sit back and be content with a lead. You know, they can be explosive, and that's just such a fun attack to be thinking about. What I'm not sure about is their central midfield and their defensive midfield, especially now with Hasani Dotson on the trade block expressing his displeasure with his situation in Minnesota after a few years. With him gone, they're one injury from just being paper thin in the middle of the park. I think their back line as well, like there's some reliable players there. You've got Boxall who's still there. This is a familiar team defensively. They can get exposed. So I'm just it's a little shaky, but because they're so dangerous, I think this is going to be a fun team to watch. So I'm interested to hear what you guys think.
I think you're spot on about the midfield and also just how fun the attack is. Paul Harvey wrote the Minnesota preview. It was a very, very good read, and I think it was very balanced in correctly identifying that MLS is a fun league in that, like, to get, if you have like a baseline level of competence, you can be a solid playoff team very easily just by being pretty organized defensively and having fast attackers who can run in transition is like the easiest way to get yourself to like seventh in your conference, no matter what. But going from that to being a team who you actually have to dominate games against teams who are worse than you have to win all of those games, it's really hard. It is by far the hardest jump to make in MLS. We have seen so many teams try to do that and not be able to. And I think you're totally right about midfield. They brought in Owen Janae from Ligue 2. I think Ligue 2 is like a criminally under recruited from league. It translates extremely well to other leagues, particularly the ball winning is very stable. And luckily for Minnesota, Owen Janae is a huge ball winning guy. The passing numbers aren't great, but as like a tick things over and win the ball a lot guy, I think there's a lot to like there. And they brought in Nico Romero, a center back from Argentina, who is like exceptionally defensively active, tons of blocks, tons of clearances. A huge percentage of his pass attempts are progressive. He doesn't hit very many of them, so he's just like flinging them. But maybe that works with their attackers. I think they're going to be pretty good, Harrison. I think they're going to be pretty good, but I don't know if they're going to be like even competitive for the top of the West. Like, I don't think they're even close to that yet.
I don't know if I agree with you. And part of that is because I feel like so much of what LAFC is trying to do is still in transition. I feel like Seattle's got a lot of games that they're going to have to deal with. And LA Galaxy that we'll cover is kind of falling apart right now as far as their core. I really think this Minnesota team is exceptionally good. And I think their front six is great. I don't think they need their ball winners to do anything but win the ball and then give the ball to Will Trapp, who can just find crazy diagonals and just feed him, let him push the ball forward. They can either, I think they have the talent to possess the ball. I think they have the talent to play on the counter really well. The one thing that I'm a little bit worried about is if they decide to go and try to possess games and try to, exert their dominance. I am a little worried about how quickly they get countered. That back line is a little old and it's a little slow. So I think having that new ball winner is going to help, but who knows? Translation is always a weird thing. And like you said, it seems like they made some good buys. It seems like they made some savvy decisions. We've said that before about teams, so sometimes we just have to wait and see.
So if you were to have like one apprehension, Harrison, what would that be? What would be your like red flag? Is it just like how do they defend transitions?
Yeah, I think you could probably just say the back line. I don't think that Michael Boxall is getting older. He is, and he's gotten better. He's aged like a fine wine, really. I feel like every year I'm waiting for him to kind of fall apart, and somehow he steps up a area of his game and gets better. So I think right now I'm just waiting for, I'm waiting to see how that defense really is, because I feel like on paper, every year I look at it and I feel like, and it's actually not so bad. If that defense can be pretty good, this team can be top of the West. If it's not, there could be problems. There could be some problems, some shootouts,
So
some LA Galaxy-esque games.
Ben, let me flip it then, because I think you and I maybe came off a little apprehensive. What's your like at the end of the season, Harrison's right, they've won the West. What are you looking at? Me, I'm like, oh yeah, that's why.
I mean, it's just buckets of goals. I don't think they can be that stout defensively. I think they can be average. I think they can be good
They
enough.
were. So, like
Like,
last year, they were dead middle of the West, smack dab between Portland and Colorado with exactly 50 XGA.
Totally. And I think you're right with the defensive pickup with Michael Boxall just being consistent, like being probably the most stable force on this team over the years. I think they'll be good enough, and I think if they are pushing for the very top spot, it's just because their attack has caught fire and they're getting goals out of every position on the front two rows of their attack.
It is really like tremendously advantageous that you legitimately have like multiple nines and multiple wingers who all score goals. Like it is tremendously useful. I think my hang up is like if Robin Laude goes down, you're toast. I think they just have no replacement for him. That's probably my one big one. We'll save the predictions on where they finish until the end because we do have our full standings. So we'll talk about that at the end. Moving on, Ben, we're going straight back to you. Orlando City, tremendously weird window because they had so many moving parts and so many injuries. Tell us about the Lions.
I think with Orlando, it's one of those good teams that is at risk of taking a step back. They sold their t attacking talisman with Facu Torres for, it was like, what, $12 million to Palmeiras. Nailed it. So he went. I think they were absolutely right to have done that deal. I think that Facu Torres was one of those star players where the analytics nerds are looking at the numbers and saying, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it, folks. So from our perspective, this is probably a good move from Orlando to get this money back. I don't know if they have done enough on the flip side of that. And now we have an injury with Cartagena. So that's another piece that they're losing in the midfield. But they're still very talented. They're bringing in Eduardo Atuesta, who is probably the perfect piece that they needed. My issue with Orlando's teams over the past few years, I think, has to come down to tactics. Like, it's hard for me to separate. Like, G Plus doesn't really like Orlando on the whole. Like, shout out to Matt Barge, who wrote the Orlando preview that published today, for chatting me through this. The system just doesn't seem to spike high on like the raw goal chance creation metrics, but they control the game. Like, and in a way, I want you go back to 2016 in an alternate universe where GGG isn't the MLS coach to get the US men's national team job. It's oh gosh, it's Oscar
Oscar
Pereja.
Pereira, yeah.
Their game models are very similar. You know, they sit back, they control the game, they don't want to give up chances, they're trying to break down the opposition. Oscar Pereja's best teams were with Dallas when he had Mauro Diaz, the proto like the apex 10 of that era in MLS. So I think having Eduardo Atuesta's ability to pick out those passes as more of a deep lying playmaker is going to be really important for actually progressing the ball into dangerous areas, because that's really where this team seems to struggle. They are good on the ball. They have talent, but when they get into those dangerous situations, they'd much rather withdraw than be dangerous. So that's sort of my big capacity for them, or my biggest concern for the team.
So Harrison, Wilder Cartagena goes down, tears his Achilles, I think. Your midfield is now truly hinging on Eddie Atuesta
Araujo.
and Cesar Araujo. Thank you, Ben. Like, how do you feel about that calculus?
Honestly, I loved Atuesta with his time in LAFC. But when he came back, he's not been the same player. I don't know all the details as to why, but I can tell watching him, and you can just see it in like G plus numbers. He's not the same player, right? And so, to be perfectly honest, on the face of it worries me greatly that that's kind of what they're held hostage to. I think there's potential if they can find out how to fix him, so to speak. I think it's a great move. I think it's a great move, especially with the way that they've wanted to play over the last few years with a little bit more possession. I don't know, man. I don't know how much he can stay on the field, and I don't know how good he's going to be over the long term.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Atuesta is that like his game is hollowed out. Like the early LAFC version of Atuesta did everything as a passer, as a creator, as a presser. Like the defensive metrics his first season at LAFC were actually still very large. But last season there was nothing in his defensive metrics. I mean, I think he's such an incisive passer. And they have so many attackers ahead of him that there's probably positive value there. But I think Cesar Araujo has like taken pretty big steps back as a player. Like he had negative, I think he had neg a net negative G plus last year. And 2 years ago, he was like almost in our G plus best 11. Like he was right there. So I'm kind of skeptical about this team. And I say that, and then I'm making our table for the year. And like I'm not gonna show like this is not where they ended up. My first draft had Orlando in 11th. And then I was like, every time I do this, every year, I'm like, Orlando suck. They have no good players. I don't get this team. They're gonna be a zero expected goal difference team somehow. And every year they're fine. They're like fifth, no matter what. So like clearly they have something. I think the defense is actually pretty good. Like I think they are reasonably talented defensively, and maybe they do the Sounders defend with the ball thing. Which will come up. But I just think if I was an Orlando fan and I look at this window where you sell, even if like we think he's not their best player, he scored the most of their goals and assists and whatever. They sold that player. They bought out Nico Ladero, the young Scandinavian that they paid a fee for. They lost in the expansion draft. And all they got was like a Croatian winger playing in Croatia, but for not one of the particularly good teams. And a winger from Fortaleza in Panama. I think Panama? I don't know. I can't
Fortaleza's in
remember.
Brazil.
No, but the club play in
Oh,
Bolivia or
it's a
something like
different.
that.
I see.
I can't remember. I sound really bad now. Liga de Mayor, Colombia, I think. I think they're a Colombian team. But like just like not and Atuesta on a free. Like really? Like is that's your window? Like you're that You just made a conference final, and that's your window. You sell your best player, and you get a bunch of guys worse than your best player. Like, I don't know if I'd be very happy about that. So, I bet you there's going to be a lot of preseason grades that grade them more negatively than they probably should be. Like, I'm looking at ours right now, and like, I have them a little bit higher than both of you guys, but I think a lot of people are going to grade them pretty negatively.
I mean, here's the thing is, and this is the thing that when I looked at our table and we tried to come up with this, you can say, okay, well, what about the second half of the season, right? They could always do X or they could do Y. And I think that's the problem right now with Orlando, right? They have two of their U22s already used. They have two of their DPs already used. There's not a lot on the reinforcements. This has not been a team that's gone and spent a lot.
You
They've spent
know,
some, but are they really going to bring in a DP?
well,
A
they're going to
high
have a
price
lot
to
of
be.
GAM. They're going to have a lot of GAM. Presumably, them buying out Ladero so late in the window is a portend for something else to come.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of where I'm looking is if they're going to be doing reinforcements, it kind of has to happen. I mean, the spring windows doesn't close for well over a month. So there's time to bring in someone with time for the season to have an effect on the season. I think my concern is if they wait for the summer window, I forget who posted it on Blue Sky, but like the summer window doesn't open
It's
until
very
there's
late this
yeah,
year.
that's until like 12 games are left in the season. So you can't count on bringing in reinforcements and having enough time for them to integrate. Like at that point, if you want them to have an impact, you better be pretty safely in playoff position for that new player to really help you do anything towards the end of the year.
Well, let's move on. Let's move to the West. the Western Conference. Harrison, you're going to tell us about Houston. Houston, analyzed by our beloved Carl Carpenter. They move on from Hector Herrera, the talisman that we had a great
Ache,
conversation, Ache, that we had a great conversation about at the end of last season. They made, I think, what I would call some peripheral moves. Tell us about the Dynamo.
I mean, I wouldn't call them peripheral moves. I feel like, like you kind of talked about, Ache is gone, but also Coco's gone. Mikel looks like he's on his way out as well.
Yeah, that deal, our pre just to pull the curtain back, the preview is done before the Lodeiro pickup and before Mikhail seems to be, or Mikhail, whatever, is supposed to be gone. He is also off the Palmeiras for a club record fee. These Brazilians buying all the MLS players. Continue, sorry.
No, that's a great segue. I mean, so in a lot of respects, you can kind of see on the face of it, right? They lose some really core aspects of their spine. And for a team that's so dependent upon that defense this past year, it's easy to look at this team and say, okay, they've taken a step back, right? Steve Clark's gone as well. This team is not the same team that went out there to the play that made the playoffs and made the playoffs on a great defensive record. They cannot score. They have not shown the ability to score on a consistent and regular basis. And yet, there are some things to like about this team, right? Ponce. Their
Yeah,
striker,
Ponce.
Ponce.
Ponce, maybe? I don't know.
Well, look, they have a young winger in Ibrahim that I actually really like. Bossy can play positionally really well, and despite the fact that he's not necessarily great in the attack, he is solid at on set pieces. He's a really great counter press piece for them. Ladero is going to help provide depth to that position. Jack McGlynn comes in and is going to actually play minutes. Like, forget what there's a lot of stuff that you can say about losing Ache. Really well pointed out in the season preview, Ache didn't play a lot of key minutes. Like, especially down the stretch, he just couldn't stay on the field. Having Jack McGlynn there constantly game in, game out, to where you're not having to pull from your depth, is going to be huge. On top of that, they also picked up Eric Duanes from LAFC, who is an interesting young player in and of himself. I see that he's a little bit lower on the depth chart. I was a little bit surprised. I don't know quite if he's going to be an impact level player, but again, they have this depth. They have Griffin Dorsey, who's like kind of come out of the woodwork and been a really, really good right back. You got Franco Escobar, who's solid, and then Daniel Stairs, who was kind of quietly great in the closing weeks to the season, playing depth. So, yeah, okay, they kind of seem like they take a step back, but also it's really hard to kind of count this group out. This group has such a hardcore lunch pail mentality, and with Ben Olsen coaching him, like I can't see this team not being in the playoffs. Like that feels like
Yeah.
the back's end of the playoffs feels like the floor, and because this team is just so bought into their style, into him, and they're going to play really hard, and they're going to play really good defense.
So here's my fours and here's my against. I think in my four side, like, Ponce didn't play that much because he joined pretty late in the season, but scored at a really, really solid rate when he
Yes.
did play. Aliyu Ibrahim does some stuff. He's not super productive, but for a team that is now going to have significantly more passing due to Jack McGlynn, he's a tremendous depth runner. I think there's a lot of value there. I think a player who didn't play very much because he tore his ACL in, I think, his first game for them is Lawrence Sonali, who has now been out for 200 days. You would expect that he will come back before the summer window. They paid a big fee for him as a winger. He had really solid numbers in Poland, which has not translated to MLS super well, but again, is like a winger who can score goals. I think from that point of view, I'm like, okay, positives. You have runners and you have passers. I can see it. Artur was one of the biggest ball winners in the league last year, has always been a solid passer. I see the vision. On the flip side of this, Ben, I look at the goalkeeper core. Steve Clarke was brutal last year, but it's not like Andrew Tarbell and Jimmy Marrer are going to be much better from a goalkeeping perspective. And then you look at the center backs, you move on from Mikhail, who was like your number one defender last year. You haven't replaced him. They traded for Michael Halliday from Orlando, who hasn't really played very much, but he's more of a right back than a center back. And it's like Daniel Suárez and Ethan Bartlow and Eric Sviatchenko. And it's just like not a very convincing center back core. And so as much as I think, okay, yeah, like they were a 43 XG4 team last year, which is horrific. Like that is next to SKC in Dallas and less than the Earthquakes. And yes, they were only a 45 XA team. Like even if you get 7 goals better, are you also going to be 5 goals worse on the other end, Ben?
I mean, I think so. I think this is the team where we're gonna not necessarily see the most movement on the table, but certainly the most movement in terms of like action in the games. Like they're gonna be weaker, but they're gonna be more dangerous. So I think that's gonna be at least fun to watch. 'Cause I remember trying to tune into some Houston games. Like for a while, me and Carl have like anytime Houston Colorado playing, it's like a 0-0 draw, and then they squeak out a weird goal right at the end, and we're like, yep, this is the worst game we've ever watched yet again. Like it's just been brutal. I don't think that's going to be this Houston team. They're going to be on the front foot. They're going to have Jack McGlynn putting the balls, all over the field. And I think if they're going to have to defend with the ball, but that means that they're going to be punished for it. It's going to be similar vibes to Minnesota, I think, for that. It not for for different offensive tactics, but I think the result's going to be similar in terms of what we see in their matches.
I think I'm more negative on the scene than both of you guys looking at our tables. So we'll come back to them when we give the tables. But yeah, I think this is going to be a particularly divisive team in the rankings. Harrison, we're sticking with you and we're sticking in the West. Your beloved Seattle Sounders, Ben and I are clearing the paint out. Go ISO. Tell us about the Sounders and what you like this year.
I need a precursor and say right now, I actually think I'm lower on the Sounders than both of you looking at the table and looking at our notes. I think that you guys are higher on them, and I think there's a variety of reasons for that. I think this depth that the Sounders have is probably one of the deepest teams that they've ever had. They are two back in just about every single position. You can go down the line and say, okay, who are we starting today out on winger? Are we going to start De La Vega? Are we going to start Ferreira? Are we going to start Areola? Are we going to start Rothrock? Are we going to, and then you got Georgi Mnangagwa as well. Up top, you have Morris, you have Ferreira, you have Albert Rusniak, you have in the attacking midfield, Obed Vargas, João Paulo, Christian Roldan. There's so many different pieces. There's so much depth. There's so much flexibility. They can play just about anything they want, from a 4-4-2 to a 3-5-2 to a 3-4-3. Like it's very, very flexible and customizable. And there's not a weak spot on this team. You can look on the back line and you can see, man, they have prime Nuhu, they have prime Jackson Reagan, they have Yamar, who absolutely still owns at center back, one of the probably easily top, you can almost pencil him in to be a top 10 center back this year. Alex Roldan, who's had some give and take moments, but is a net neutral at bare minimum. And then on top of that, you're adding young guys like Reed Baker-Whiting. Oh yeah, we also have Stuart Hawkins. You have a huge amount of youth as well
Sid
coming up through.
Brunell.
So yeah, Sid Brunell, who just had amazing what is it? Pro
MLS Next Pro.
Next Pro, thank you.
Yeah, he
G
did have a
plus
very strong
numbers.
season.
I remain skeptical on how that actually translates to MLS, just because he doesn't have the size yet, but he knows what he's doing. He's was tremendous in preseason, at earning a spot on this team. It's going to be a really, really strong team. The counter to that is they're probably going to play about 45 to 50 games. And
It's a lot of games.
that's a lot of games. And it's not as if it's one part of the season, it's
No,
throughout the
it's
season.
always, it's the whole way.
Yeah, it's at the beginning of the season, it's at the end. So it's a lot. They're going to have to manage this squad very tightly. And there's one thing that we've always learned about the Sounders, that they're always going to deal with injuries. And that's kind of a bummer, but that's every team. Every team has injuries and everybody has to deal with it. And they're probably the most equipped they've ever been. But if that's the case, what do they sacrifice? Do they sacrifice that tournament? Do they sacrifice the regular season? I'm inclined to believe that they're going to push forward in all the tournaments, and they're going to say our stuff is good enough to get through the regular season.
So Ben, you seem to have drunk the Kool-Aid picking the Seattle Sounders to win the West. If at the end of the season you're right, what's the number one thing that you're like, yeah, that's why I was right? Obviously I was going to be right. I knew exactly all along.
I mean, it's the depth. I mean, that's and I think that's the key point Harrison was hitting. And that's why I pick. I mean, I think the theme for me and all of in where I was going is I'm thinking through, can this is like there's multiple tournaments. There's gonna be the summer slog year after year. It comes down to who can survive the injuries, who can survive the international competitions with players leaving for international duty. That's what. It really matters when it comes to the table at the end of the regular season, and that's why I think Seattle are going to be in first place. I don't know about playoffs. I have them in my head as they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals. I don't know if I'm going to pick them for MLS Cup quite yet anymore. I think I was more bullish on them, and then other teams have started to catch up a bit. But that would be like too deep at every position. They can handle this in ways that I don't think any other team in the West can. I think there are some teams that are close. I think LAFC is close. But yeah, this roster is just incredible. It's the best one in the West. It's the deepest. And that's why.
I really want to highlight something, Harrison, that you wrote in your preview about not just the depth that this team has, but more the versatility in their depth that they have, right? So you wrote about how the addition of Ferreira, and this is me quoting directly, the addition of Ferreira and Areola only further emphasizes the strength of this team and its depth, and also in its positional flexibility across the board. Both Ferreira and Morris can play on the wing or in the nine spot. Ferreira has spent time behind a true striker. Roldan, Rusnak, and De La Vega can all fill various needs either in the 10 spot, while Roldan and Rusnak can drop deeper into midfield. De La Vega can play out wide on both sides. And then you go on to talk about the fullbacks, and there's more and more and more. And I think the thing for me, why I'm so high on the Sounders team, is not just that they're deep, because we've seen teams that are deep. The thing with depth is, like, if everything goes well, you never have to use it. To me, the thing that I think is so positive for the Sounders team is that their players can do many different things. Like, if you look at, for example, the Sounders tonight are playing based on FOTMob. Harrison, you can tell me if this is wrong. I'm not watching the game. They're listed tonight as having Paul Areola as the nine and Jesus Ferreira as the 10 behind them. Is that factual?
No.
Okay. All right.
That's
Is it, who
just
is it? Is it
FOTMob.
Morris as the nine and Areola wide? And
Yeah.
Ferreira behind him? Okay, but already, so now we have Roldan and Vargas as a pair. You have Areola and De La Vega as wingers, and Jesus Ferrer is playing as an orthodox 10 behind a stretchy 9. But there's going to be games where actually Ferreira is the 9 and you're going to play Morris as a wide forward. And there's going to be games where Areola plays as a really aggressive fullback. And there's
Well,
going to be.
yeah, that's where he's actually really kind of playing. I mean, it's kind of interesting to even go to that. Areola is playing more of a fullback because
Is it a back five with Areola as a wing back?
it is
Well,
more of a
there you
back
go.
five.
And
So, but
is
they
it
didn't start
Del
out that way.
is it
So,
De La, is it De La Vega and Ferreira as two tens underneath Morris, or is it Ferreira and Morris as a pair?
It seems like it's more of two underneath, but even then, De La Vega is going out wide at times.
So there you
So,
go. So now we talk about this, right? And like from one lineup, we've changed zero players. And we've gone from a 4-2-3-1 to a 3-box-3 to potentially a 3-5-2. In moments, that's going to be a 5-4-1 to defend. Like you have all these different options to set up that, like, if you have to problem solve in a game, you don't need a sub to do it. If you're playing LAFC one week and the next week you're playing NY New York Red Bulls, you can do wildly different things while keeping your best players on the field and using them in different spots. And even from like a skill set standpoint, like if Jesus Ferreira isn't scoring for a stretch of time, okay, that's okay, Jesus. Like you don't need to score. We'll lean into your creative abilities, and you're gonna create all these shots for Jordan Morris and De La Vega. And like, if at the end of last season you were like, give me the red flag, why are Seattle gonna be bad? I was gonna say De La Vega is not gonna score enough goals this year, and he's gonna stink like he did in 2024. This guy scored in basically every single preseason game. He scored against Antigua, and Antigua got him Guatemala today. I don't know. I'm not watching again. Maybe he stunk and it like hit him off the elbow and went in. But if he's going to score goals, this team's going to be really, 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 really good. And I don't think there's a way to get away from that.
I know. I think that that's a good summation. If the Sounders aren't elite, and I think they're going to be good regardless, right? I think everybody all agrees they're good regardless. The difference between them being elite and being a top of the table type team is whether or not they can score goals, because that's been their biggest weakness, and they
Can I
don't
give you
have.
my actual biggest red flag?
Do it. Let's hear it.
By far my biggest red flag and the thing I worry about the most with this team is the goalkeeping. Stefan Fry has been like extremely not healthy. He's also 38, and when they have had to play Andrew Thomas, like he's just not great. He's fine. And like I think if you want to be a legitimately exceptional team, like you need good goalkeeping. And
Is
that to
that
me is the one I look at and I'm like,
something where in 3 months and it's just not looking good, you can do an internal league loan?
no.
I don't know.
No.
I think they're pretty
It
like gammed out, so I don't think they could
like
really do anything if they wanted
well,
to.
not only that, but Andrew Thomas is the heir. He signed an extension last offseason for multi years. Like he's Andrew Thomas is your guy as the Sounders. Like they have determined he is going to be the guy, right? And like you said, he's not been great. I will caveat that with he was really good during the Open Cup, both in PKs and multiple PKs. So I feel
I just get
that.
nervous. I just get nervous about these. I get nervous about these 27-year-old career backups who've played like 20 pro games. I get real nervous.
Here's the thing to be less nervous about. The Sounders, I believe, I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say they were sixth in shots against, like total. They don't
I can
give up a
check.
lot of shots to save. They
That's
do an
fair. That's
excellent
fair.
job of preventing a shot from occurring, and because of that, I think you minimize the impact your keeper has in saving and impacting a game. Now, I think the key difference is you rely on your keeper to make those big saves that he shouldn't make, right? That's where
You.
Stefan Fry comes in, and that's where he's a difference maker, is he makes saves he shouldn't make. Can Andrew Thomas do that? That I think that's still debatable. I've seen him do it in the Open Cup. The question is, can he do it, and is it repeatable in the regular season when he's asked to?
You are factual. They did concede the sixth fewest shots. They're pretty strong in that metric. So maybe it'll be fun. Maybe it'll be fun. All right, let's move on because the Sounders got their they got their love. Harrison, we're straight back to you, buddy. RSL. I'm gonna say before you tell us about RSL, this team's gonna honk. They're gonna smell like dirty laundry. Tell us about
Yeah.
this team.
I don't know how to take that. Is that like they're just good? You're gonna have to expand upon that before we even get it anywhere. Do you feel like they are just gonna be terrible as in bad, or you feel like they're just gonna be terrible as in they're gonna do a lot of dirty stuff?
As in, I picked them to finish 13th and thought that was kind.
Oh, snap.
Like I don't think this team is even a little bit good. Actually, I was gonna say I have no idea how they finished a plus 12 expected goal difference, but I do know how they finished a plus 12 expected goal difference by having Chicho Arango and Carlos Gomez play out of their minds and Anderson Julio have a career year, and then all of those guys are gone
Yeah, this has been, it's definitely a
and
step back.
replaced with way worse players. And then you have today, what's his name? Elias Manuel is like, I'm not going there. I'm not
Well,
going to Utah.
this isn't today, right? Like Elias Manuel, for those that don't know, has been MIA for
He did not
months, right?
report.
He didn't report to training to camp. He has been off in the nether regions of space, for all we know. Like he's floating around somewhere. Who knows? But
I thought
Forster.
you were going to say he was in the Netherlands. I was like, why do you know that? Why?
That's where all the good coffee shops are.
First of all, yes. Second of all, hey, look. They don't need necessarily to bring in guys because they already brought in a lot of different guys, right? Diogo Gonçalves is a guy that had minimal minutes
Yeah,
last
but
season.
he was bad. He like didn't play. He played sick your mid-season signing that was supposed to save you after selling your best player, played 690s and was hot trash in the playoffs.
I don't want to say he's hot trash. I think that's a little bit, I think that's a little exaggerated. I will say adapting to RSL in midseason and playing in Sandy, Utah probably takes a little bit getting used to. The same that you could say to Marzicek, right? He also took time
Yeah, the
to adapt.
Polish.
Both of those guys are coming in and they're trying to make difference. In a time frame in which both of them had high expectations, that's tough. Diego Luna, I believe, will take another step forward this year. And I think that when you add those two players who they believe in a lot, like if you listen to around RSL at all, both players are very highly thought of. I think it's very possible that next season's young player is Marchuk, I think is how you
The
say a
Polish
Polish.
guy.
Difficult. Me in pronunciation. I think it's very possible. His ability in 1v1 is really good. He seems to have. He seems like he has a gear still ahead of him. When you watch highlights of him and you watch, even rewatching some of those games against Minnesota, there was moments where you just felt like he was fumbling for it and he just couldn't reach it. I think it's there. I think it's there. I think they're going to be there. The problem, I think, realistically, is whether or not they score goals. I think their defense is going to be fine. In fact, they got deeper on the defense, right? They, as you talked about, Anderson Julio they swapped for Junk Ju
Sam
Jukwa.
Junghwa.
Yeah.
No, Junko's
Look.
good. Like he's like a solid contract.
Yeah, and you know, you have Katrinas that's out there in the left back, who's fantastic in his overlaps. He's not a defensive player. What?
Listen. I just here's the stat. Okay. They had a
I know
hundred
you're gonna throw it out. I know you're gonna throw it at me.
they
I'm
had a
here to.
hun they had 112 goals and assists in MLS play last year. Okay. So like there's obviously double counting there. Of that 112, their top goal and assister, Christian Arango, 23, gone. Carlos Gomez, 20, gone. Diego Luna put up 16 from 12 XG plus XA. He's back. So not he finished way above his expected numbers last year. Is that gonna happen again? I don't know.
I think he'll stay. I think he's gonna stay. Take a step forward. My thought process is he's gonna take a step forward. And here's the thing: this second half, they didn't have Arango scoring goals. In fact, Arango didn't score. He scored
Yeah,
one
and then they
goal
went out in the
from
first
June
round, and then they
on.
went out in the first round of the playoffs.
That's and it is what it is, right? Like, I'm not making ends meet. I'm not saying they're the
Let me
best team in the West.
keep going through
I'm
this list.
saying
Hold
I
on.
think that they're still a playoff caliber team.
Let me keep going through this list, and then we'll let Ben talk about RSL because he also is going to say they suck, and I want to win. Also gone, Anderson Julio, 12 goals and assists. Matty Crooks, 6 goals and assists, also gone. Brian Oviedo, 2 goals and assists, also gone. Fidel Barajas, 2 goals and assists, also gone. Like, they legitimately have Diego Luna at 16, Catranas at 6, Brian Ojeda at 6, Brian Vera at 4. That's like their second highest retained creator is a center back. Like, I have no idea where the goals come from with this team. And then on top of that, they spent actual money. First off, they traded for Mason Stajduhar from Orlando, who's never been good, but is by all accounts a nice guy. And they signed an international backup goalkeeper from Brazil in Rafael. Like,
Well, Raphael's going to be their starter.
well, that's even worse. So,
Yeah.
like, to me, I look at it and I'm like, unless you are so high on the Foster Ajago train. Or Forster Ajago, the guy from Nashville who like scored a bunch of goals in Huntsville. Unless you are like so into him or so into Tyler Wolf, I just don't see it. Ben, settle the debate. RSL bad, good.
Well, I would never surmise to call RSL good, but I think they're going to be better than the rest of the bad West. Like I am actually really low on the West this year, just as a whole. Like the wide middle, is going to be not good. So I'm betting more on Diego Luna with the system actually built around him because it
Scott,
wasn't last
like,
year. So like
guys.
I hear you, Carrot. I hear you. I don't think they're going to be great, but I bet on their defensive solidity because it is a Pablo Mascheroni team. They'll figure something out, and it's going to get them the ninth seed, which is, spoiler alert, where I'm picking them in between Harrison and Karen. So
I'll
but
put a bet.
if the West were better, I don't think I'd be putting them there.
I'll put a bet right now that Diego Luna does not break 10 and 10. He does not
So
break 10 goals,
a
10
combo,
assists.
he doesn't break a co 20
He does not
goals plus.
contribute. He does not contribute 20 goals this year. I would put
Okay.
an inordinate amount of money on that number. We'll do so. I will do something stupid at the end of the season that
It's
you
pretty
can
high
come up with.
line.
If it is it's a very high line, but like if he doesn't put up 20, 10 and 10, he doesn't put up 20 goals, this team is going to score 18 goals. So.
I hope so.
I'll let you
I mean, I'll
decide.
take
I'll
it.
let you guys decide throughout the season what stupid thing has to happen, but
It's dependent on how bad it is. Like if RSL ends up being really good, I will tell you, I think the other side of it is I think that midfield is really good. I think it's underrated.
I really, really like Ennis, the young lad. Ennis. Is that his
I
name?
like
Ennis? Ennis
Palacio.
Anelli?
I like Anelli.
Anelli. Sorry, Anelli. Thank you.
I let they have Ruiz getting back, getting healthy. If he can, he can't be healthy. He won't be healthy. It's fine. If he could at least play 1200, 1500 minutes, I think that's really, really positive influence that he could have on this. I know, I think Doyle talked about in one of the things in one of Discord or something, he dropped a thought that he thought Ruiz was prime trade target bait, which is interesting. But I just really believe in this team. I really do believe in this team. And you're right, they definitely are going to have some questions on goals. Foster Ajago probably isn't the answer, the long-term answer. And there's rumors that they could be bringing in a number nine and bringing and paying for a legit number nine.
I mean,
They
they're legitimately one of the richest ownership groups in the league. Like, they should be spending a ton of money.
and but I mean they have, right? It's not like they
Have
haven't
they?
spent yet. Yeah.
I thought
Over
Arango
the
was their record. I mean, it was like a
Yeah, no,
few like
it's not like a,
$5 million signings in a row.
they've made
yeah.
they it's not their U22 initiative signings have not been on the cheap side. They I think that I believe in this team. Like I don't want to. I want to make this clear.
You
Like the
do.
human
Every year you believe in RSL and nobody else. You
this
believe
human
in
spirit.
RSL
No.
more than I believe in anything in my life.
I just like liking things, Kieran. I think you know,
It's
I think
fair.
you like disliking things,
I
and
do.
I
I
think
am a
that's what
hater.
makes us.
I am generationally a hater. Speaking of being generationally a hater, I am not a hater of FC Cincinnati, which is where we are headed next. Cincinnati had like a very, very strange summer in that they were so deep in cap hell and did such good chicanery to get themselves out. They traded Ian Murphy and Chiodose Awuzim to Colorado in like a combo center back trade, both of whom who I thought looked excellent against LAFC
Yeah.
last night.
Plug and play two center backs. That was fun.
Awuzim, I really liked. I really liked the signing of him in the first place. But they moved on from both of those guys. They moved on from Yamil Assad. They moved on from Boupenza in the summer. They moved on from former ASA pod favorite Archimedes Ordóñez. If you guys remember Kimi Ordóñez for 2 years ago, they did not pick up Kevin Kelsey. And they also sent Alvaro Barreal to Santos. Now, on the flip side, they did a tremendous amount of inbound business. They brought in Teenage Hadebe. They brought in Lucas Engel on loan from Boro. They signed Ta Anunga from Nashville. They signed Gilberto Flores. They made Luka Orellana permanent. Apparently, they're getting a new contract done on that. They signed Kevin Denke from Cercle Bruges for a humongous amount of money. Kevin Denke, for those unaware, has put up like frankly obnoxious goal scoring numbers in Belgium. Belgium has translated somewhat here and there to MLS. Denke had, to pull the curtain back, had a lot of interest from Liga, but not from very good Liga teams, not from like anyone, not from Marseille or Lyon or anyone kind of towards the top of the table or Lille. Because there were some questions about his athleticism at the top end. That profile has generally not translated super well to MLS. Generally, the really good athletes have translated well, but he has scored a gargantuan amount in Belgium. And then perhaps the most interesting deals is that they are part of the first kind of triumvirate of cash deals and that they send Lucho Acosta to FC Dallas and they sign Evander from Portland. And after all this movement, I basically come away to the point that as good as Lucho Acosta was, he is 30, about to turn 31. He's a somewhat temperamental figure. And Evander is probably as good as him. So you get a lot younger. Evander's probably worse defensively, but you get a lot younger. Can you teach him to do the things you need to do? And you get a legitimate, exceptional striker. I think this team is poised to be excellent next year. I've picked them to win the East. I think they are perhaps still the best run club in the East now that Columbus have moved on from some of their guys. Maybe Atlanta are probably the claim there. But I think this team is super, super legit. Ben, Harrison ha also has them top of the East, but you do not. Tell
I have a
me.
quick question for you.
Yeah.
If I can interrupt Ben
You
for one
can't,
second.
not allowed.
You said you don't feel like he's a good defender. Do you think that that has something to do with what his requirements were in Portland, or do you actually think that he just is, it's not a forte of his?
No, I think it's legitimately a weakness of his game. I have heard that a big part of him moving from Midtjylland to MLS and not to a bigger European league is partially because he was entirely uninterested in defending. He did not press, is what I've heard. I don't know how true that is. You hear lots of things about moves that happen, but I think it is a legitimate weakness in his game. At the same time, like he's 26, he's not 36. Lucho Acosta at 26, that guy had never heard the word defending. So if you go back and watch his time at DCU, he would just stand in the opponent half until he had the ball. So it's, I think, fixable. Ben, you have them third, whereas Harrison and I both have them winning the East. Give me your number one hesitancy with this team.
I'm thinking it's, I don't know. I think I'm kind of second guessing that a little bit now. I think I was more betting on Miami and Atlanta than necessarily betting against Cincinnati on this. I think, defensively, they're still going to be strong, but can they weather a similar crisis if something happens? I don't know so much there. I'm also not sure. Like you look at Evander's G plus wheel and it pops off on passing, which is surprising because he had a bunch of assists, but he also, I feel like he was grabbing headlines for the crazy, low XG shots that he was putting in the back of the net first and foremost. So that passing is a more underrated part of his game. But Portland and Cincinnati didn't really play the same style last year. Cincinnati is very much one of those control again a control the game with possession style, and that is very much not Portland. Portland does like to press. Portland does like to like they were a very mixed tactical bag under oh God, what's his name, Beckham's lad,
Bill.
Phil Neville. I
Did you
think
just describe Phil Neville as Beckham's lad?
well, that's why he's in MLS to begin with, is because he's
Incredible.
Beckham's lad.
It's not wrong.
Like, let's be real here. But back to Evander. Like, I think they're gonna ask, like you're saying, I think they're gonna ask more of him, and I think it's gonna work, and I think he's good enough to do it, but I don't know if it's gonna click right away. So I'm concerned about the offensive output a little, but I think you're right. Denke's great. Evander's obviously great. Orejana's still going to be putting dimes into the box. Like, I don't think they need to be worried. I think I'm betting a little more on Messi, and I think I'm betting a little more on Chris Henderson just stacking the hell out of Atlanta. And it's going to be close. Like, those three are the three. I just think it's going to shake out that they are the back end of those three at the top.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing to like really contextualize is like if you look at their XG generation, they got 8 XG from Yuya Kubo, they got 7 XG from Orejana, they got 7 XG non-penalty by the way from Lucho Acosta, and they got 4 from Sergio Santos. Like they didn't have like a real shot getting guy last year. Like they just didn't
Yeah,
have that guy. It was
it
supposed
was
to be
going to be
Bupen.
Bupenza, and
Yeah, it was going to be
he
Bupenza until he
did
decided
his
he
thing.
wanted to go box. But
He
like
and
you go
Vlatko
back,
should hang out.
yeah, but you go back to this team when they had Brandon Vasquez, and like this team was an East contender, right? So, Harrison, you agree with me and having them top of the East. Is it just like you look at the attacking additions and you look how solid they were defensively and you're like, yeah, no brainer?
I Yeah, I'm actually questioning more of my decision. I feel like I kind of went with the fact that I think Miami's going to pull back. I don't think they're going to be as good. I think Atlanta's going to be very good, but I also think Atlanta has more deficiencies. So kind of in the same way that Ben wasn't necessarily betting against Cincinnati, I'm not necessarily betting for Cincinnati either. I feel like they just have the least amount of holes. I agree with you. I think Kevin Denke has a great profile coming out of the Netherlands. I think that he could absolutely tear up this league. But we've also seen guys that look good on paper before. So yeah, there's questions on this. I question their defense. I think that if you keep asking about the red flags, right? I kind of worry about this back line. This three back that they have is
The
nice.
center back spot is real thin, especially
It
after moving Auazem and Ian Murphy.
yes, agreed. And not only that, but I still have some questions on their left back, right? I know they went and they paid and they got a player out
You
of
know what,
where did
though?
Lucas Nagel come from?
Engels was playing for Middlesbrough in the championship. Engels is a very solid player. And I think has played a solid amount of center back as well.
So I mean, but that's not what they use their left back for. Now it might be that Orjano, is just different. They're gonna structure their team a little bit differently than how they have in the past. But Engel's not gonna be the same. He's not gonna be the overlapper that Orjano obviously was. Orjano's much more attacking friendly.
But
So it's just gonna be kind of.
he's still there. Like they. I think there is some like amount of Columbus to the way their wing backs are, where like they're just going to be productive because they're in the spots. You know what I mean?
We'll see. We'll see. I, as you said, I'm high on them. I'm sharing my yellow. I think that I don't even think they have red flags at this point. I think that they're more orange and yellow.
That's fair. That's fair. Yellow flags, beige flags. Moving on, Ben. Los Angeles Football Club, devastated by your Colorado Rapids. I actually thought LAFC looked like not bad though, given the circumstances. We, I think, as a group are quite high on their chances this year. Harrison and I have them top, you have them second in the West. That Igor Jesus guy I thought looked quite nifty given the circumstances of the game. Tell me about LAFC. Where are you at?
I'm high on them. I think they're going to be a great team. I just like it's not often you get to watch a team live before you preview them, so I'm just gonna like it was exactly what I expected to see. Like they're doubling down on their go into the defensive shell, like what it was like the 10 minutes into the game and everyone's freezing and LAFC's got like 11 players behind the halfway point and Colorado's just dinking it around standing here, and I'm like, of course this is how this would go, of course. But they came out of their shell a little bit. They are fast on the transition. They've got dangerous players. Both sides were, it was cold. It's the first game of the season. Like it was just not clean. So I don't think any team's going to be clean. We were just watching Miami tonight. They were certainly not clean. Similar conditions. So they're going to be great. Like they have their identity. They have a solid, really talented roster that's mostly geared towards that style of play. And I will say mostly because we look at center forward for this team. They brought in Obosi, who's great. He's going to be a backup to Giroud. Giroud, I think, looked good yesterday. Like he was making hard runs. He was committed despite, being a legend. He shouldn't have to put up with playing in freaking Colorado, Commerce City in February in 0 degrees. Like I still can't believe that happened. But I'm concerned that he doesn't fit this team. And Kieran, we were messaging about this. I was like, okay, so he was just straight trash according to G Plus for LAFC last year. What does Davies have to say about this player the past 5 years when he was in Europe? And Davies loves this guy. Loves this guy. For Milan, for was it God, was it Chelsea before that? Like he just was created, like he fired on all of the stats that Davies is checking for. So you'd think, okay, so he's just going to be good. But then Kieran had the wisdom to say, not in this system. Like he's used to a possession style. And my snarky retort was, well, they're just trying to be France 2018, like tactically and roster wise, they're just trying to win a World Cup, I guess. Could work. They could pull a Chicago Fire.
If
But
this team was 7 years younger, they'd be great.
yeah, so you add Griezmann to this, that's something else if they can actually pull that
Is
off.
that gonna happen though?
It could. The thing is, I think it depends on how happy Giroud is in 5 months. That's what it's going to depend on.
I'm just so I picked this team to win the West. But I'm just so to me, the reasons to sell them on winning the West are like the talent they have is so good that even if they want to be real cowards and play with no midfield and real and just transition, like Cengiz Under, David Martinez, Bouanga, Nathan Ordaz. Nathan Ordaz is like a G plus wet dream. He's bad at everything but receiving. I just think
The good
there's
old
like
Kevin Cabral.
Well, Kevin Cabral apparently wins penalties in his sleep and dribbles through eight guys in the box.
No, he's a wizard all of a sudden.
But I just think like they have enough like pace on the break that even if they're like, no more passing, just transition, they'll be fine. And if they do decide, let's actually play, like they do have enough in Igor Jesus and Timothy Tillman
Mark Delgado, I think that's a great pickup. Like, I think
and
that's
Mark.
low key the pickup of this offseason is getting Mark
Well,
Delgado.
and I think Mark Delgado especially is, we talk about Seattle's tactical flexibility. Mark Delgado can be a suffer ball eight or he can be an excellent possession eight. His passing numbers historically have been gargantuan in MLS. He is an excellent forward passer. Harrison, LAFC, presumably you and Seattle have to hate them this year. What's the weak spot?
I told you, I just like liking things, right? Like, listen, I will forever always adore Ryan Hollingshead. He does so many good things. He's just such a he's a yeoman. And look, this team is deep. And there's a part of me that actually hopes they don't get Griezmann. I hope that they figure out that this just doesn't work with Giroud. And I think Giroud, I'm with you, Ben. I think that if they played a possession style, and I think they actually, I'm going to go on a crazy, crazy ledge and say, I think this could be a possession-based team if they wanted it to be. I think they have the pieces to do that. Here's the
For
deal.
sure.
I don't think that's the best version of them. And I agree. I think you give Jeremy Iboboce up top and you tell him to go and get and do run-ons along with Bouanga and Under, and it's gonna be really, really freaking fun. And you have Delgado you throwing forward, either being, like you said, an insufferable eight or just passing. Like Tillman. Agor, like Jesus was phenomenal last night. I liked him a lot. There's not a lot of weak spots on this team, and they're so flexible in their in how they want to play. I just think that adding Griezmann would kind of it just wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be fun. It would be
I
blowing
did
something up
Griezmann's.
beautiful. Like it, I really think this is a fun team. Take out Giroud and add in
Harrison,
Cabral will be
why
fun.
do you hate France, Harris?
Harrison is the guy who, like, before Miami got Messi, was like, I don't even want Messi. I just like the team we have. Like Phil Neville is doing a great job. Four diamond two, man. Like we made the playoffs. I don't even want Messi. Like Leo Campana is the truth, man. That's
First of all, you are correct.
Or like the Brooklyn Nets fan before they signed KD and Kyrie, and you just love the D'Angelo Russell playoff team.
The NBA is dead. I don't know what the NBA is. I'm
All
from
righty.
Seattle.
All right, that's the perfect sign to move on. Next up, Columbus Crew. I thought I was certain I was going to be the biggest hater on the Crew in our rankings, and I ranked them the highest of the three of us, which is quite surprising to me. I have truly hated basically everything they've done since Bez has left. And Isatol is a very bright guy. He was in Toronto for a long time and was very well respected. But I deeply do not like the moves they've made, with the exception they brought in Lasse Lapalainen. That guy is going to absolutely cook for Wilfred Nancy. They brought in DeJuan Jones in the summer. They brought in AZ Jackson in the summer. They move out Aiden Morris in the summer. They move out Yaya Boah. They move out Christian Ramirez to the Galaxy, who are going to come up later. They move out Hinostroza. They move out, most importantly, Cucho Hernandez. Late in the window, it's a big bid. Listen, if this team does not have Cucho, it's going to become vague U-shaped passing very, very quickly. And as much as we talk about how beautiful the system is, and we talk about how incisive the play is, and da 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 da, we saw in the playoffs last year that if Cucho doesn't have big acceleration moments, they struggled to break teams down. They had a very hard time breaking the Red Bulls down in the playoffs. They did not do a good job of it. It was like the Red Bulls got their transition moments, and then they defended it at deep five, and the ideas were good, but like, the reality of the level of MLS is that the average player is not so talented in possession that you can't just defend in a block. It's why being competent in your structure is so effective. And I look at this and I'm like, all right, who's the guy? Who's the guy who's going to break teams down? I think I will be editing Elliot's preview tonight, so we'll see what that looks like. But I'm pretty skeptical about this team if they don't have a big move coming in the next little while. And like, this Cucho move happened so late in the window and the Euro window's closed. Like, who are you getting? Or are you waiting till the summer? And if you're waiting till the summer, oh no, I don't like that one very much. Harrison, are you as concerned as I am?
Oh yeah, deeply. Seriously, I really wonder how good this team is going to be. Their midfield needs help. I worry about who's going to step into that role. Darlington Nagbe has another year on his legs, and his legs did not look like they're going to hold up at the end of the season. Like that's a huge concern. Like before we even start talking about breaking down teams, because breaking down teams is the luxury that you have that you've had over the last few years. As the Columbus Crew have been the best team at doing that. Now, let's hope that they're structurally sound because, to be perfectly honest, you start taking away that midfield, and all of a sudden, that back line is going to start coming apart. That back line is, I honestly think it's only as good as your possession-based team is. And that kind of, for me, is centered around Darlington Nagbe. And I guess Sean Zawadzki, I guess that's who you're pairing him with.
Like Shambost is there, AZ
I
Jackson's still there.
are you a
Like,
huge believer in Shambost? Is that is
no, I don't. Again, I think
Derek
this
Jones has
team.
been flipped around so many times. Like he's like a college bed at this point in time. It just going from room to room, like because someone needed a midfielder. Like, and I mean nothing by harm from that. He's been very solid everywhere he goes, but he's a depth piece. And
No,
he
I
hasn't shown
agree.
that he can start. And so,
I agree
yeah,
with you.
I will say I have this feels like an incomplete grade. And it feels a little unfair because it's very obvious they're going to, I think they're going to go get somebody. I think
Yeah,
they're going
but
to
are
add.
they?
I feel like they have to. If they don't,
No, you
this
can't
is
not. Yeah, they
tremendously,
have.
this is tremendously bad. This is so, they have earned so much goodwill and they've earned so much respect around this league that if they do nothing now, they will
Yeah.
look terrible.
Yeah.
It'll be
I
bad.
mean, I think for me, it's like, I think they will. And I think the person will arrive probably April, get going around May. And
But
I think they
who
will. I don't know.
if you're getting someone, if you're getting someone in April with windows closed, you're paying so far above what you should be.
Kieran, Tom's not on this podcast. We don't have
Tom.
answers.
Oh yeah, fair. Yeah, that's fair. That I did say who. I did say who and expect you to just have a name. Sorry, Ben. Tell me they're gonna come in April and then
Yeah.
give me the
Well,
positive here.
of all of us, I did rank them the lowest. So I think I like so the positive is I think they're gonna be fine. And I think just this is really bad timing. I think it's unavoidable to do right by the player because Cucho wants to make the Colombian team for the World Cup. This is his best chance to do so. I think you're just in a bind and you've got to eat this first half of the season a little bit and hope that you're good.
How much do you think that they were like, you know what? We're fine with letting him go. Like after,
Probably
like if you think about it,
decently.
this is a player that got benched for a coach's decision multiple times last year for like attitude reasons. Like you're probably team comes in, gives you 16 million bucks. You're probably like, ah, you know what? We can.
Especially if Nancy's fine with it. Like just like she's like, sure, all right. Like we'll reload. Like Nancy is a system guy. He does not think his team relies on one person for sure. So I think like I agree. I think they will be fine, but I think it's gonna set them back in a big way this year. And
It's a lot of goals.
I like the problem is they are going to they're not like it's like the opposite of Austin where they have strikers but no engine to supply the service. They have a great engine, but they've got no one to actually put the ball in the net from that service.
Yeah.
And
Well,
the teams,
they still got Diego Rossi.
that's true. But he's not so much of a striker per se. Like it's
He's
just gonna the balance is weird now. And so I think the two the like there's that top tier in the East of like Atlanta, Miami, Cincinnati. Then I think the next set of three is Columbus, Red Bulls, Charlotte. And I like the defense of Charlotte and Red Bulls more that I think it's going to carry them through for the regular season. Well, I mean, all bets are off. If they're really good by the end of the playoffs, all bets are off for that, as you know, Red Bulls showed us last year. But I think it's going to set them back for this regular season.
Let's see. Next up, who do we have? Ah, oh, Inter Miami. How could I have forgotten? They just beat SKC 1-0. They transferred half of their team. Diego Gomez went to Brighton. Facundo Farias went to Estudiantes. They traded Leo Campana to New England. Cedric Dos Santos went to San Diego. Emerson Rodriguez to Ludogorets. Mati Rojas to River Plate. They moved on a whole bunch of guys. They brought in a whole bunch of other guys. Fafapico joined. Oscar Ustari joined. David Martinez from River Plate. Maximiliano Falcón, Telasco Segovia, Tadeu Allende. They signed all these guys, like so many guys.
Mascheroni.
Who?
Javier
Oh
Mascheroni.
yeah, and on top of all that, yeah, on top of all that, Tata dips. He's like, I'm out. I don't want any part of this. And they bring in Javier Mascherano, who was like so hated as the Argentine U20 coach, like genuinely detested by the people of Argentina. And they were like, this guy sucks so bad. And then it turns out maybe it wasn't all him because the Argentina U20s just had a pretty brutal Copa. Like U20 Copa. So I don't know about that one, but like if it was Messi and friends before, it's Messi and friends like to a whole nother level now. And this is a team who had extremely unusual metrics in 2024 in that they had a plus 30 goal difference on a plus one expected goal difference. G plus did not like them. They were an average G plus team. And we've talked about this a little bit in that, like, they're really unusual because, excuse me, they're really unusual because their predicted G plus and their predicted expected goal difference based on player quality informed models. So to give some backing, when we do a lot of our projection stuff, we start as a baseline with like Messi has this much G plus, Suarez has this much G plus. You do the whole team, how good should they be? Their predicted G plus and predicted expected goal difference were huge, much closer to their actual goal difference. I think we predicted something like a plus 22 expected goal difference, and they had a plus 30 goal difference. But their actual expected numbers were way worse. And that's very, very weird. In the first draft of the 2025 projections, Maddie Steph has them like fifth or sixth, I think. And it's mostly because it's like, I have no idea how to handle that they sucked last year, but were also good at the same time. So it's very, very, the math is very confused. And as such, I am also very confused about this team. And I just look at like Messi's a year older, Busquets a year older, Suarez a year older. None of their other recruitment moves me particularly. They had to move a lot of their good and energetic young players like Diego Gomez and Leo Campana. And I look at it and I'm like, don't see it. Not for me. I like Fafapico. I think he will thrive running off of Messi. I think he'll score a lot of goals running off of Messi. But other than that, I look at it and I'm like, can't quite get there. So I have them in second anyways, because I'm a coward. But I don't think they're going to be the second best team, if that makes sense. Ben, Inter Miami, you liked them ahead of Cincinnati. Sell me why you feel that way.
I just can't bet against the talent. Like, I think even just tonight, Messi dribbles three players and puts it in. Like, I don't know if we can bet against this. Like, this is where the numbers truly feel broken, because we have the best player of all time, and certainly not the best league of all time. And the big questions are, how much can he play? Last year they won without him, but this year he'll be able to play a lot more. So like, our aggregate numbers aren't tracking the fact that they were overperforming numbers when Messi wasn't on the field, and they're overperforming them even more when he was. I think they'll be fine. I just don't know how to analyze it. So it truly is vibes assessment at this point, and they'll probably just be good enough.
Yeah, I
Agreed.
mean, just to kind of piggyback on that, here's the thing about the numbers and Messi. Yes, Messi's always defied numbers, but it's not as if Messi hasn't had great underlying
Yeah, Messi's
numbers.
numbers
Just
have been gross. Like,
they've always
gross.
been
Right,
gross.
always.
And yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's about how much he plays. Can he stay on the field? Can he contribute? Because if he can't, that's where this team starts falling apart. That depth has gotten exceptionally shallow. Kaminsky is still one of those. I don't know if I can yet give up on him. I'm really interested to see what he does this second season. Is it second season, third season? I don't
I
know.
guess third now for
I just
him.
learned that Paul Areola played for Dallas for 3 seasons. Okay, like take it easy on me on like what my reference point is on players and how long they've been in this league. But I really strongly feel like this is all about Messi and can Messi actually create and score those goals and be that difference maker? If he can, great. Miami's gonna be super good. If he can't, no, they're gonna tank some games. They're gonna look legit awful at times.
Listen, Messi in his 2 seasons with Inter Miami has played 4 and 17 90s, and across both of those has been a dead even 0.96 xG plus xA across both seasons. If he plays 25 90s, they're going to be amazing. If he plays 13 90s, they're probably not going to be very good. And like, I think it's reductive, but I think that's the whole story. Because Suarez is going to score goals, but Messi is going to do all the creation for everybody else. He's going to score at a really high rate. And it's like, can you do enough to carry the rest of the gang? I hope he doesn't, because it'd be funny. But let's see. I don't want to spend too much on time on them, because I think it's actually like, there are no numerical opinions on them that aren't just like, I don't know, Messi's great. The rest of the team's probably not that good. Let's see what happens. I'm going to tell you the numbers suck, but I'm also going to pick them to be good because Messi's sick. You know what I mean? So, moving
Dude,
on.
I got one quick question for you.
Fire.
Does Julian Gressel end the year with Miami?
No, they trade him and they do something in the summer. Yeah. They trade him to a team who needs a midfielder on the East Coast. Maybe like Nashville or something like that. That'd be fun. Moving on, the last team, the final team before we give you our tables, your MLS Cup champions, who cut Sean Davis today for cap flexibility reasons. We've given Will Kuntz a lot of grace on this pod. I'm perplexed by their offseason in that, like, I thought they had the cap under control, and then they didn't have the cap under control, and then Jovljic actually couldn't stay on the roster and they had to move him, but then they maybe didn't get enough GAM from moving him to keep other players on the roster. And maybe they could have, and just like Sean Davis had a bad preseason and Elijah Winder had a great preseason, like maybe that's the whole story. But this team goes into Harrison goes into a season where like they have no midfielders. Their midfielders are like Cirio and injured Ricky Pooge and like ch actual children. So tell me why I'm wrong and actually the Galaxy are going to be sick.
I feel like all of us, me especially, really did not have a lot of great hopes on the Galaxy right now. Yeah, it gets worse because Joseph Paintsell looks like he's gonna miss the
8
first what
weeks.
six to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's even further worse because one of the few players that you probably could have stuck in the midfield, Diego Fagundes, now has to slide out wide, right? So maybe Miguel Barry does instead because you have to have Diego Fagundes in your midfield. And God, what a terrible place that is in life to have to have Diego Fagundes starting in your midfield. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, Fagundes has done some good things over his career in MLS, and he's had some great moments. But to be in a situation where you have to use a guy like that at this point in time, that's not a great feeling for him. It's not a great feeling for your organization. And that on top of the fact that this team got by with the fact that you just basically dumped goals. Oh, you're going to score five? Well, we're going to score seven.
This is the thing that I'm like, what do you think you were good at last year? Because, so you look at their transfers, right? So out goes Jovljic, out goes a whole bunch of guys on like kind of weird moves. Like Jalen Neal goes, Mark Delgado goes, Gaston Brugman goes in a trade.
I want to talk about that Neil here in a second, but yeah, keep going.
Yeah, like those guys all go. Jovljic goes, right? And in comes like a center back in Zonka. Lucas Sanabria is like the big signing, $5 million from Uruguay. Like, but he's coming straight from Uruguay as a midfielder. Like, how good do you think he's going to be right away? Elijah Winder, they pay a pretty big fee for from USL.
Right. Thank you. Yeah.
They go get Christian Ramirez as like their nine guy, but like, is Christian Ramirez going to be your starting nine? Is Royce going to be your starting nine? Like, what does that look like? I just am like, you destroyed teams with goals last year. Like, why are you trying to do other stuff? So
Yeah,
Ben,
I agreed.
like you, I don't know. I'm like, if I was a West Coast fan, I'd be way less worried about this team now than I was 6 weeks ago.
I don't know. I think I was probably like, I think when I set these lines, I think, or my rankings, I think I wasn't assuming Paintsill would be out that long. It was definitely before Davis was dropped. Like I've
Yeah.
like I and that's not like the Davis is gonna like, oh, you cut Sean Davis, so I'm gonna drop you from third to sixth. Like that's not where I'm going
No,
with
no,
that.
no.
But I think the plan was always to shift away from the game model last year. And I like you cannot rely, like I don't think they're rely like they're gonna keep open the possibility that Pooch comes back by the end of the year and that they'll be in playoff mode. I don't think you can rely on that. I don't think you can even for the playoffs. And at that point, what's his fitness going to be like? What's his sharpness going to be like? Can you rely on the team being as good with that strategy? Flip on a switch come October. I don't think that's smart. So I think at least you're keeping your most important pieces, which are your dangerous wingers. Like all of the DPs are staying. I think they're all on contracts through 2026. So you can still run that back once Pooch is healthy again. I think Ramirez was good enough to be a starting nine at that point. But I think he had, like, we've talked a lot about roster flexibility and tactical flexibility. I think LA is going to have to rely on that. And I think they'll be fine. Like, I don't think they're going to be as dynamic. I don't think they're going to score nearly as many goals, but I think they're going to be more solid defensively than they were last year. I think they're going to be more organized. I think they're just as talented as like the best team. Like, I think they're more talented than Colorado. I love Colorado. I think they
Yeah,
fit together
probably.
so well, but they're like just baseline talent. I think they're better.
But you know, maybe, but like, I know, no, not maybe, definitely. They're definitely more talented than the Rapids. But I think in terms of like minutes averaged talent, I think they probably will not be because
Yes.
Pooj is going to miss so much of the year
Yes.
and they're so thin.
Think
And
you wait, 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 wait. I want you to go back there. You think Pooj is going to play this season?
yeah, I think he'll play. Unless the season is lost, like in October, like they're gone. Yeah, I think he'll play.
I think he'll play, but I don't
You
think
gotta,
he'll be the focal point.
I also think his knee will be, I think he'll have a fine recovery because he's so small. Like, just think about it. Like, the guy weighs 110 pounds. Like, how much is he really gonna put, how much weight is he really putting through that knee when he recovers? Like, there's a very cynical way to look at it, but I think his recovery will be mostly fine. He's also not that, like, Pooj is not an amazing athlete. Like, if he's a yard slower, it's not really a big deal.
I think that
I
speaks
agree with
more to
that.
his recovery time to me, but
Yeah,
fair
that's what I'm
enough.
saying. Like, I think he'll be
Right, but I'm saying
fine.
not being a tremendous athlete and not having that,
Oh, I
I
see
think
what you
that
mean.
slows your progression. I think
Maybe.
that makes you less likely to come back quicker. And so that's been my experience, but I don't
On
know.
the flip side, maybe he, I, 'cause I feel like he's got to be driven doing something. So if he can no longer be like playing dimes because he can't be training with the team, I feel like maybe this is the first time in a career he'll actually take his conditioning and physical development seriously, because that's how he gets
Maybe.
back on the field faster. So he might actually even
Or
level up from this. There is a possibility for that.
maybe noted party boy Riqui Puig, who left Barcelona because he was such a party boy, is like, I'm injured. I can't play. I'm going out in LA. Let's go.
He's so bored in LA.
I don't know. I don't know about that one. I saw that guy party after MLS Cup. I think he's
He's
not
so not
bored.
bored. He's so not bored in LA.
Alrighty. Harrison, any other last points, Ben? Any last points on the Galaxy?
Nope.
The one thing that I did want to come back to with Jalen Neal, I know Neal is kind of a mixed bag, and trying to nail defenders from an analytical perspective is a mixed bag at times, especially with a young defender. I really felt like they sold low on him, especially considering their situation with money. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence with that move, comparatively to how they've built this team and some of the older senior players and their financial hit. So I kind of, yeah, it's I felt like it was a great move for Montreal. I don't know about the Galaxy right now. I'm still trying to process this.
I think when you put it in the context of like they needed GAM and to clear salary, it makes sense. Like, it's not like he was so productive for you that he wasn't more useful on his U on a U22 contract.
That's a fair point.
So it is what it is. Of their selling moves, that actually may have been my favorite. Because I think it like made the most
Oh,
sense.
I well, yeah. When you think about the fact that they sold
Yeah,
Delgado and Brugman for nothing, yeah, that might have been their highlight because all their trades were garbage. Let's
and
just say it.
Jovovich.
We've been tiptoeing around it. Their trades were garbage. They gave up nothing, or they gave up Brugman for nothing. They
No, they,
effectively got
yeah,
nothing.
that was bad.
they basically, if you look at the Sean Davis trade, or the eventual Sean Davis cutting. They basically traded Brugman for to use a buyout. Like that's like you. Why not just buy him out then? I don't
You
understand.
trade for
You
literally
traded
anything
one of your
else.
best players,
You
like
traded the
seriously,
MLS
one
Cup
of your best
MVP.
players for nothing.
Just get an international spot at that point.
No,
That would have been more productive. That would have been more productive.
They traded Brugman for like literally to get out of his salary slot and nothing else. It's also odd to me because surely somebody made this point. There's no way you intended to cut Sean Davis if you were waiting a month to do it. Like, surely
Yep.
you would have just cut him right away. So like I look at
or
that and I'm like,
advertised that he was going to be at a local shopping center and over the weekend.
wait, that actually happened?
Oh, yeah,
Oh
it was in
yeah.
Discord. Yeah,
Yep.
he was supposed to. It was like they tweeted it out like the day before he got cut.
Oh no. So like clearly like some I don't know if other moves fell apart or like whatever, but clearly something went wrong. Maybe his like medicals suck and he's like crocked because he's played so many minutes. I don't know.
Listen here, before you say anything more that you regret, Sean Davis, if you don't have anything better to do,
Come on the pod.
come on the pod, come hang
Yep.
out with us. Like seriously, dude, like I would love to have you write an article, contribute to the podcast in some way, do something. Like absolutely. If you have some time on your hands right now and you don't have a team lined up, take some time. Come join us and find a team mid-season. Find a winner you can be a part of mid-season.
I don't know if I'd call us a winner, but I'll take that advertisement. All right, let's finish this off because we've gone really long on all the teams. This is what happens when I don't institute the timers. We just end up talking for 7 minutes about how FC Cincinnati signed Mangione's cousin, and he is on the roster for FC Cincinnati today. Watch out, Philadelphia Union. So we've got let's go through the East. Winning the East. Harrison and I have FC Cincinnati. Ben, you have Atlanta. Any comment? We talked about Atlanta last week. Give me your 10-second, 30-second Coles notes why Atlanta are winning the league.
So much new talent. I think it'll
It's a
work.
lot of talent. I do think that is the thing. We've all got the same top three in the East: Cincinnati, Miami, Atlanta, in some order. In fourth, I have Columbus. Harrison has Charlotte, and Ben has the Red Bulls. Harrison, give us 30 seconds on why you think Charlotte are going to be that high.
You're gonna give me 30 whole seconds?
30 whole
Listen.
seconds why Charlotte are coming fourth in the East.
Listen, I can summarize it really easy. It's Wilfred
20
Zaha,
seconds.
duh.
It's fair. It's fair. It's a real Wilfred Zaha is a real compelling reason if he can stay fit. In fifth, I've got Charlotte. Harrison has Columbus. Ben has Charlotte. In sixth, I'm the highest Orlando team. Harrison's got Philadelphia. Ben's got Columbus. In seventh, I've got the Red Bulls. Harrison and Ben, you've got Chicago all the way up in seventh. Ben, sell me on Chicago all the way in seventh.
I think they'll be solid. I like Berhalter's style. I think it's fitting the players that they're bringing in. I think it fits Acosta well. Yeah, I just think it'll be good enough. And again, I'm not high on the middle to lower teams on either of these conferences. And I think they're just going to rise above those other teams.
Very reasonable. As we've said, be competent. Easy way to get yourself into seventh through ninth in your conference. In eighth, I've got NYCFC. Harrison has NYCFC. Ben has Montreal. We're not even going to talk about that because I think that's pretty wild. I believe Montreal are the weakest team in the league by our preseason projections on their talent. In ninth, I've got Philly. Harrison has the Red Bulls. Ben has Orlando. In 10th, I've got DCU, which is probably a little bit of a high one. Harrison has them in 11th. Ben has them in 14th. I just think Benteke is quite good, and I think their style is like if their goalkeeper doesn't concede 20 more than expected, they should be like pretty close to the playoffs. Harrison has Orlando. Ben has New England in 10th. I've got Chicago down 11th. I'm concerned about their midfield. I don't think there's enough there. Harrison has DCU, and Ben has NYCFC sliding all the way down to 11th. Anything in particular? Is it just the lack of DPs? Is that what has them there for you?
Yeah, something sound to
Yeah. And then the less said about the rest of these teams, the better. I've got Toronto 12, Nashville 13, New England 14, Montreal 15. Harrison has Nashville 12, Montreal, Toronto, New England, and Ben has Nashville, Philadelphia all the way down in 13. A little bit surprising. DCU, then Toronto. In the West, and we're going to post these pictures so you can like laminate them if you're a team and hate us. And then maybe a social media person will tweet it out. Harrison and I have LAFC winning the West. Ben has Seattle. I've got Seattle second. Ben has LAFC second. Harrison, Minnesota, the Loons all the way up in second. Harrison and I have Colorado third. Ben has the Galaxy. I have the Galaxy fourth, Harrison has Seattle fourth, Ben has his own beloved Rapids in fourth. I think it's kind of like a pretty, we all have the same top five in different orders with the Galaxy and Minnesota kind of rounding up that rear. I don't think there's anything too crazy in that group. I do think there is a pretty clear top group in the West. After that, we see a lot of variation. I've got Vancouver six, Harrison has RSL six, Ben has Houston six. Wildly different because these because Ben has Vancouver 14th, I have RSL 13th, and Harrison has Houston in ninth. Like just really, really big variation. So going through, I've got Austin 7, Portland 8, Dallas 9, San Diego 10, the highest amongst all of us for San Diego. Houston 11. I didn't love their windows, as I said. I thought they were a little bit periphery. SKC 12, who I'm debating should be lower. RSL 13, St. Louis 14, and San Jose bringing up the rear. Harrison from 6 down, RSL, SKC. Austin, we had kind of 7-8 as a group pegged. Is it just the attackers, Harrison? Is that what has you them?
Yeah, look, I kind of have this entire like I couldn't I've been changing these like for the last 2 days, right? Like RSL, SKC, Austin, Houston, Vancouver, they all do one thing really well. And it's just a differentiating, like in my opinion, what you think that team does well and do they do it the best? And to be honest, it's kind of a coin flip for me at this point in time. I think Austin is a great attacking team. I think having
You
the
think
striker
they
that they have,
could be a great
I
attacking
think they
team?
could be a great attacking team. I want to believe in Austin, and I want to believe in their new coaching staff.
Going down from Austin, Houston, Vancouver, St. Louis, Portland, San Jose, Dallas, San Diego. And then Ben, we're just going to skip a bunch because I keep reading team names and it doesn't mean anything to anybody. But I do want to talk about that you have Vancouver 14, Dallas 15. What is it about those two teams that you have them so low?
So Dallas, it's the additions, and I like just
But
doesn't
they're
fit for
good
me.
additions. Lucho Acosta is a good player.
I don't think Lucho can help this team.
Ooh.
I don't see what like they got rid of their talent. Like they got rid of Areola. They got rid of Ferreira. They have Pedro Musa. I think he'll score some goals, and I think Acosta will assist those goals. But like I'm not so convinced. And I especially am not convinced by their defense. I just think they're just going to be a sieve, and that's like,
Nekoshi Tafari is gone, right? They traded him to LAFC. Or was it
yeah.
Tuma? No, and Tumasi's also gone.
And they brought in to replace them all as Subukar. So
What
I just think they're going to be really bad. Well, they're going to have a lot of
what
goalies
about the
go on them.
Whitecaps? The Whitecaps in
White
14th
cap.
felt very aggressive to me.
It's aggressive. I think I'm putting them lower than their numbers would put them because of the vibes. Because there is a pall hanging over this team with a potential sale, with a potential move. I
You know what?
don't
Fair.
think the players are going to be invested. It's a new coach. I just don't see it. I think it's going to be a disaster,
It's
purely
very
based
fair.
on vibes.
Well, we have our lists, so you'll be able to see them and call us out, and we'll be able to check them throughout the season. We're gonna be back in 2 weeks. We'll give the season a little bit of air to breathe, then we'll do our G plus draft so nobody drafts Robbie Robinson this time. And I don't come last again. I would like some sample size. So we'll be back a little bit after the season, first week of MLS. Enjoy. We're not going to plug anything because I'm just going to say right now, enjoy the soccer because it's back, baby. It's back. Enjoy the soccer.